Accession number 10258, Reel 1.
Medjugorje, Reel 1. Can you tell me, first of all, Medjugorje, whereabouts you were born?
Crowhurst Park, Battle.
Which year was that?
1919.
And what did your father do for a living?
This was just after the First World War, when he was still serving in the army. And he subsequently retired, and he became a stockbroker in the firm of Vivian and Gray.
And what was your education?
My education was at a prep school at Abbotsford Arundel, Sussex, followed by public school at Marlborough College, followed by RMC Sandhurst.
Why did you decide to go in for the army?
I was very fond of games and outdoor life, and indoor life didn't appeal to me.
How did you find your course at Sandhurst? How did you find the course at Sandhurst?
Very fine. I don't regret a moment of it. Extremely good course for 18 months. And I passed out of Sandhurst on the 1st of July 1939.
Had you expected war to break out?
There was always that prospect.
And what was your reaction when you heard that we were at war with Germany?
I was then with the 2nd Battalion, the Buffs, at Pembroke Dock in Wales. We were quite prepared to mobilise at a moment's notice. Everyone was aware that this could be forthcoming.
Were you dismayed when you heard that we were at war?
Very mystified. But we all knew it was coming.
Why were you so mystified?
At the age of 20, one's mind really doesn't work in those directions.
Did you go across to France with the British Expeditionary Force?
On the 20th of September, 1939.
And which battalion were you with?
2nd Battalion, the Buffs.
Whereabouts did you go to?
We landed at Cherbourg, and we were stationed in the Lille area until the 10th of May, when the invasion took place.
What was it like in the Lille area for your particular unit before the actual attack occurred? What was everyday life like?
We were rather, although mobilised, the reality of war had not really hit us at that stage.
But how did you get on with the local French
population? Oh, very well. Very well indeed. With the local mayor. Mayors, rather.
Why were they so good?
Well, they were very helpful. Billeting, all that side of it, all the administrative side of it, they were extremely helpful.
But were the ordinary Frenchmen and Frenchwomen in the street friendly or hostile?
I found them very friendly, because we were invariably billeted with French peasants, and it must have been a great imposition for them. But I always found them most helpful and very charming.
Did you ever come across instances of hostility to British troops from the French?
No.
What kind of duties were you employed in the Lille area before the attack occurred?
We went over to France as the Pioneer Battalion of the 1st Division. I think I'm right in saying this. We were the Pioneer Battalion. There was always a Pioneer Battalion attached to each division before the war. to carry out duties of digging trenches and that sort of thing.
Was this the construction of the so-called Gort Line?
Yes, it was to do with that, yes.
Whereabouts did you construct these fortifications?
In the various areas that we were stationed around the Lille area.
Just in the villages round about?
Yes.
Can you remember the names of any of the villages?
Cysoing, C-Y-S-O-I-N-G. Steenkerk was our last village, which was right up on the Belgian frontier.
During the digging, did the troops ever come across any remains from the First World War?
Yes. My colonel at the time, Colonel George Hamilton, who commanded the 2nd Battalion, took the subalterns up onto Vimy Ridge. We were stationed quite close by there at a village called Fersier at that time. And he showed us, took us over the ghastly attack that happened on the ridge where all those Australians were killed in the First World War.
Were the remains of the First World War trenches still visible?
There were, as far as I remember, still a few relics, yes.
When you were constructing your fortifications round Lille, can you describe what they were like?
It was more revetting of trenches and digging of trenches. That was the principle.
What did the trenches look like?
I can't remember the dimensions of them now, but it was all laid down from the army manual.
How did the men take to the work?
Very well indeed. Most of my platoon were Z reservists who had been called up when mobilization took place, and they were extremely cheerful men.
What are Z reservists?
They were the first line of reservists to get the call up.
So they'd only recently come out of the...
Recently come out of the forces, yes.
Can you remember what happened in May when the Germans launched their attack, from your personal recollection?
We were driven back on the first night by a tremendous bombardment, followed up by their tanks. And we retreated all the way back until for certainly 2 or 3 days. And I personally was knocked out, and I can't remember anything much after that.
But when the German attack was launched, did you go into Belgium, first of all?
We were in Belgium already, at Steenwerk.
Where is Steenwerk?
Up on the Belgian frontier. Northwest Belgian frontier.
And did you stay there until the Germans attacked you?
No, we moved up further through Cysoing onto the Escaut Canal. E-S-C-A-U-T.
Can you describe the positions you took up on the Escaut Canal?
On the Belgian side of the Escaut Canal.
And were you dug into trenches or in buildings or what?
I then had an anti-tank platoon. It was a Hotchkiss anti-tank. And my guns were all dug in.
And which troops were on either side of you on the canal?
To my best of recollection, the guards were very close to us.
Do you remember which guards?
Grenadiers.
you see the guards yourself?
We had seen them before the attack took place, because we had been actually digging trenches for them, being the pioneer battalion of the division.
So you were on the Esco Canal when you came into contact with the German forces?
With the German, that's right.
What's your first memory of the approach of the Germans?
It all happened very, very suddenly, with this tremendous bombardment.
So you were subjected to an artillery bombardment?
Yes.
So the anti-tank guns were never fired?
We fired a few rounds, and a number were knocked out.
So you did actually open fire on German
guns? We did actually. I'm sorry, I can't remember now. It's so long ago.
And can you describe how you came to be knocked out?
It was on... there was a pimple called the Kassel, C-A-S-S-E-L, when we received another bombardment of 6-inch mortars. And I was blown up by one of them.
How far is Kassel from the Esco Canal?
I would say midway between the Esco Canal and the French coast.
So, were you pushed back from the Esco Canal to Kassel? By what kind of German forces?
Infantry and tanks, and of course artillery.
And were you under air attack as well?
Yes. Stukas. The dive bombers.
What was it like being under Stuka attack?
Not much fun.
And what about the morale of your troops?
I think they were all shattered by the enormity of the force against us.
What about your positions at Kassel? What were they like?
They were very forced. It was all done in a tremendous hurry.
So you just had to dig some trenches on this hill, did you?
On the hill, yes. By the nunnery. There was a nunnery there.
Do you remember which other troops were with you at Kassel?
No, I honestly can't. It was, I wouldn't say a shambles, but we were being pushed back very, very fast.
Were you losing equipment on the retreat?
Oh, yes.
What kind of equipment did you...
Well, eventually we had to leave all nappy stores behind and live on the land for the next day or so.
What type of food did you get from the land?
Well, I honestly can't remember much after that. You see, this is where it happened to me, and I can't honestly tell you any more.
So the next thing you remember was that you were back in England?
Yes.
Jumping ahead, after the British Expeditionary Force... When was the first time that you actually went to Kenya?
I embarked for Kenya on the 15th of December, 1940.
Were you still with the Buffs?
No. I'd been seconded to the KAR.
Was that at your own request?
They sent round, the War Office sent round asking for subaltern volunteers to go out for the Abyssinian campaign. This would be about September or October 1940, and we eventually embarked on the 15th of December 1940 from Liverpool.
Which battalion of the KAR were you with?
When we arrived... 6 weeks later, which was on the 5th of February, I always remember this, the 5th of February 1941, there were about 300 officers And being or having had experience of anti-tank weapons, I was sent up to the artillery base at Lark Hill at the foot of the escarpment in Kenya.
What happened there?
We were training recruits. From there, I went up to Jinja as a regular subaltern again to train infantier recruits.
How did you find the African soldier?
Extremely good, very good. Once you had learned his once you'd learned the language, Swahili, which it was an essential to do, life was very pleasant with them, and they had a great sense of humour.
How did they compare with British soldiers, for example? What were the contrasts?
Impossible to tell you. Entirely different.
Just different in every way?
In every way.
What was their discipline like, for example?
Extremely good. Very good indeed. Their drill was immaculate, and they took a great pride in their turnout.
What was their attitude towards a new arrival like yourself from Britain?
I think generally, if one put oneself out to get to know them, there was no problem at all.
They appreciated that, did they?
Very much, yes.
How would you go about getting to know them then?
One went off on safaris with them, which entailed long route marches, and generally in the field, that is how one got to know them.
Did you learn much about their background and family life?
Oh yes, yes.
What type of things would they tell you?
Well, one would ask them where they came from, and we kept all their records, naturally.
And would they freely tell you about their background, or would they be secretive?
Oh no, not a bit. Not a bit secretive. No, they would be quite pleased to tell you.
Would they be literate or illiterate?
Mostly illiterate. Upcountry, the upcountry type tribes were mostly illiterate. It was only the tribes that in the areas around the big towns that were literate.
Would there be any evidence of belief in magic or the influence of witch doctors and so on?
There was, certainly. I did come across some instances, yes.
Can you describe any?
No, I'm afraid I can't, really.
You said that you were dealing with recruits to
yes.
start off with.
Yeah.
What work did you do after that?
After that, I got malign tertian malaria, and I was sent down to South Africa, because that this malignant malaria can be very nasty, and it actually turned to cerebral malaria. And I spent 2 months down in South Africa, and then they boarded me back to England.
So when was the next time you returned to Kenya?
I returned to via the west coast to Kenya, leaving England again in December 1943. I was due to go back to the King's African Rifles, but the urgency of the west coast for officers was such that we were called off the boat at Freetown, and I was sent up to the Gambia to the 4th Gold Coast Regiment.
Why was there such an urgent need for British officers in West Africa?
I think probably because the West Africans were already committed very fully in the war. And they wanted certainly officers to train them.
How do you find the Gold Coast soldiers as compared with the East Coast Askari?
Well, that's a good question, because I've very often been asked this, and I think the majority, the consensus of opinion, was that the West African was probably a better fighter than the East, than the KAR, the man from the KAR. I think that is a general opinion.
Was there any way in which the East Coast Africans had any qualities which the West Coast Africans did not have?
I don't think so, no. I think you'd have to serve with both to be able to sense the difference.
Which did you personally prefer? Did you have any preference for the Gold Coast Africans or the...
I naturally always liked the East Africans better.
Why naturally?
Well, I'd already been out there to East Africa, and I could speak the language, and I felt much more at home with them.
So it was just the fact that you'd been there first, really?
Yes.
Can you remember which tribes the Gold Coast Africans were recruited from?
A number came from upcountry at Tamale and Ashanti. Those are the two centres of recruiting that come to mind.
Was their physical appearance much different from the East African Askari?
Facially, I think possibly yes. They had very large lips, the West African.
And what about in physique? Were they of better or inferior physique?
I would say about the same. And the lingo was pidgin English. That was the lingo between you and the West African Askari.
Not one of the African dialects?
No.
How did pidgin English work as a medium of communication?
I think it worked all right. No problem, I don't think.
You said that you went to Gambia with them.
That's right.
What was happening in Gambia?
In Gambia was stationed two battalions of West Africans. The second Gambian Regiment, and us, the 4th Gold Coast Regiment.
Why was it necessary to have troops in the Gambia in 1943?
In case of a landing.
From where?
Well, the West Coast of Africa, if you've probably heard, was very susceptible to submarine warfare. And we lost a lot of shipping around there.
So it was to prevent the Germans getting bases there?
Yes.
Was there any trouble at all whilst you were in Gambia?
No, none.
Can you recollect how long you were there?
Yes, 9 months. We lost a lot in those days through malaria and black water fever.
From your African troops?
And European. We lost 4 Europeans from Blackwater, and malaria was very, very rife. The African, of course, has a very small resistance against, or had in those days.
So they hadn't developed a local immunity to the local diseases?
We all had to take mefacrin, I think it was, in those days. One tablet a day.
Did you fall sick yourself?
No, I did have recurrences of this malaria, though, but not badly.
So you were there from 43 to 44?
44. March 40... sorry, I was there from December 42 until mid-43 when the battalion moved up to Tamale on the Gold Coast, in the Northern Territories of the Gold Coast. And I spent until March 1944 there.
And what was the function of the troops at Tamale?
It was, well, we were still a battalion based there for internal security purposes. Then in March 44, I went round with a draft of West Africans round to Bombay, about 1,000 of us, to reinforce the 81st Division. And the 81st Division were then in Burma.
Did you go out to Burma yourself?
No, I got to Camilla, which is in Assam, next door, and then I had another wretched attack of this cerebral malaria, and they took me out and sent me down to Ceylon to recuperate, and I stayed there until the end of the war.
When was it that you actually returned to Kenya then?
I returned to Kenya. I'd better give you this information first. In sorry, at the end of 1945,
yes.
I moved up back to the KAR, to the 4th, 6th KAR, 46 rather, 46. That had then come out of Burma, and were stationed in Ranchi. We remained in Ranchi until April 1946, when the battalion embarked to return to East Africa.
Was this a Kenya battalion?
This was a Tanganyika battalion. And the battalion eventually disbanded at Gilgil in April... in June...